Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. We thank you for listening to AFR. As the announcer told you, I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. Good to be on the show today.
Dr. Ray Pritchard joins us. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning, Tim. How you doing?
Doing well. How's life there in Kansas City, Kansas?
Oh, man. It's we've had some sun. We've had some rain. And I think we're going to have a little of both today. So it's all good.
Well, a lot of places in the South need rain.
Now, yeah.
If you had told me that 2 months ago, I'd have been going, no, no more rain. But like it's rained like once or twice where we live in like 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. But all right, Chris Woodward is with us. Good morning, Chris.
Filling in for Fred again, yes.
Fred's on the road?
Well, that or finalizing his fantasy hockey draft picks.
I'm not sure. Do they have that?
They do, yes.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. Fantasy. They have a fantasy like every sport, pretty much.
Does Fred play fantasy?
No, but he is a big hockey fan.
Oh, I know that.
We have a joke in the newsroom a lot. He'll mention things about hockey, and a lot of the guys are like, no, okay.
Well, Fred's their boss. So
yes, sir.
They have to act tapped in.
He sure is. Go Canadians.
How
about those Leafs?
Yeah.
Although he's a Blackhawks fan, which is interesting. I've never asked him this. Fred's from Canada, but he's a lifelong Chicago Blackhawks fan. He does not root for the home team.
Yeah, I think that has to do with his childhood, who he watched on TV, which is generally how people select their professional sports teams.
Yes, if only I could go back and tell a 9-year-old Chris Woodward not to watch the Miami Dolphins, I would save myself a lifetime of concern.
Yeah.
My fantasy football team is, since y'all asked.
Yeah, we did. He's tanking early.
I'm 0-3.
Yeah.
2-1.
Still time to rebound, Walker.
I know. Maybe I'm going to be the rebounder.
Yeah. We have a league at my church. I just beat the pianist this past week. I'm not kidding. She is.
You beat the pianist.
You feel good about yourself, Chris?
Or pianist,
that's right.
Beating
the pianist?
She's very good. She's kind of the New England Patriots of our church.
Got a pianist lady at church who plays fantasy football?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
God bless her for it.
Excellent
piano teacher as well.
Okay.
Well, good.
All right. A lot to talk about. Walker, how can folks follow us on, as Ed calls it, that there internet?
Yes, a couple ways to keep up with us on the internet. You can check out our website, afr.net, afr.net on the World Wide Web, and you can also follow us on social media, Facebook and YouTube. Just type in Today's Issues on Facebook and YouTube.
Okay. And we have a AFR app.
We do. Yeah, we have an app. So on your phone, tablet device, just type in AFR on the App Store, and you can download the AFR app.
Takes about 60 seconds or less, doesn't it?
That's right.
The President of the United States is in New York still. That's his hometown, but he's not at Trump Tower relaxing. He has been at the United Nations, Chris.
Yes, he was at the UN again today. Our Steve Jordahl monitored his remarks that occurred in the last 30 minutes or so.
Did he give a major speech?
He did. He gave this is far and above what he talked about yesterday, and we can get into that later in the program perhaps. But this morning at the UN, the president gave a speech to various members of the UN. And he talked about the benefits of nationalism as opposed to globalism. He starkly talked about China's unfair trade practices and the hope for a new deal. He slammed Iran for their sponsorship of terrorism and also spoke out against countries who criminalize and persecute the LGBTQ community. We also have some sound here. Let's do clip 13 of our president today at the UN.
Yet here in the United States and around the world, there is a growing cottage industry of radical activists and non-governmental organizations that promote human smuggling. These groups encourage illegal migration and demand erasure of national borders. Today, I have a message for those open border activists who cloak themselves in the rhetoric of social justice Your policies are not just. Your policies are cruel and evil. You are empowering criminal organizations that prey on innocent men, women, and children. You put your own false sense of virtue before the lives, well-being, and countless innocent people. When you undermine border security, you are undermining human rights and human dignity.
And again, that's President Trump this morning at the United Nations in front of virtually everybody.
He didn't sleep much last night, did he?
He did not. I don't think he slept much in the last 3 days. He's appeared here.
That's about as subdued as you'll ever hear Donald Trump in a public speaking environment. Although the situation is not, that's not a Trump rally. That's a speech before the world, really, at the United Nations. So you would think that his demeanor would change somewhat, his way he talks to that group, that body. What do you think about what he was talking about there, Ray?
You know, the tone of it fit the somber reality. We've talked here on this program about the scourge of human trafficking. We've got it here in the U.S., and it is, I don't know, Tim, it seems like it's in almost every country of the world. Yeah. So what he said was good, and I think given that topic, this rather solemn, subdued tone was just the right way to do it.
Yeah. What is, I hate to sound elementary here, but any of the three, you feel free to chime in. I'll start with you, Ray. What is exactly a definition of human trafficking?
Well, it almost always involves some form of either coercion or kidnapping or both, where especially these young girls, and it's young boys too, okay, we understand that, but especially these young girls are trapped or coerced, they're lied to, they're deceived, and sometimes they're bought. They're bought into this kind of slavery where they are then sold to other people for sexual, or their services are farmed out for sexual uses. It's about as evil and corrupt and perverse a practice as one could imagine. And it seems to be, you know, we hear that it's in all the big American cities, and we hear it's in cities around the world. It's an awful thing. There are people making money off of using these young girls and young boys and farming them out for the sexual pleasure of others.
Right. Yeah.
Creepy and evil.
Mm-hmm. There's always a big awareness campaign that takes place every year around the Super Bowl because people who monitor and combat sex trafficking say it's always a problem in the cities where the Super Bowl is taking place.
It is.
In our frequent stories on that, the sources that we use at American Family News and OneNewsNow.com tell us that, look, don't think this is happening just in the big cities. It's happening in every zip code. That's an actual quote that we've ran before.
Yeah, the Department of Homeland Security defines human trafficking as being modern-day slavery, just like Ray said, modern-day slavery, and involves the use of force, fraud, or coercion to obtain some type of labor or commercial sex act.
So it's basically linked to sex trafficking. I mean,
yes.
It's the same. Whoever's doing this is holding those kids out as basically they're pimps.
They
are the pimps of these. Although the kids have no way to get out of this.
Right.
No way that they know. I just don't know how prevalent. How do you know how prevalent it is, really? But anyway, the president's speaking about this issue today. What else did he talk about, Chris?
Well, he talked. Went on and carried on again about the importance. Well, let me back up. This speech today, talking about nationalism, taking on Iran, China's unfair with trade practices, follows yesterday's speech where he and the Vice President and Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and other U.S. representatives talked about the importance of religious freedom. As President Trump pointed out yesterday, Americans may not realize this, but the religious freedom that we enjoy is not enjoyed by many other countries. I think he threw out like 80% of the world has people experiencing some sort of religious persecution. And a number of law firms have applauded the Trump administration for that. I want to do some sound here. This is Attorney Mike Berry of First Liberty Institute saying his law firm applauds President Trump for taking a stand for religious freedom. Clip one.
As an organization that's committed to defending religious freedom for all Americans, First Liberty Institute is pleased to see President Trump continue his outstanding record on religious liberty thus far. You know, our founders understood that if America and the world is to remain free and prosperous, religious freedom, freedom of conscience and free exercise is really going to have to serve as the foundation for that. So we are encouraged to see the president continue America's commitment to being a city on a hill. And that commitment will ensure that others see our example and hopefully they'll follow it.
Ray, you've done a lot of traveling. How do people act or react when they see, you know, you in, let's say, South Korea or some other country that you're in? You're welcome there. They're allowing you in, but how do they kind of respond or act when you show up?
You know, it depends very greatly by the country. If you go to the Philippines, you know, overwhelmingly majority Christian in the broadest sense, they're glad to see you. South Korea, very much the same way. I've been to India, and that's a whole other story because India's so heavily 80% Hindu and then about 15% Muslim and then maybe 2% Christian. So when I've been to India, they would put me in the hotel. And then when I was going to go speak, they said, don't wander around outside. Don't come outside until the car comes to pick you up. We'll drop you off, go in the back way, you'll give your message. And then with the final amen, they slipped me out the back because it was not safe for me to linger there. And the police were everywhere there and the Hindu radical nationalists. So, Chris, it just depends on where you are. Go into the Muslim world, it's equally dangerous to be a Christian.
Hmm. What's the Hindu objection to Christianity? Right.
Well, number one, you know, when you read about this, Tim, they use the phrase radical Hindu nationalist because it's in the same way with the Islam. It's not true every Muslim is antagonistic toward Christians, but some are. In the same way in the Hindu religion, and in this case, they take the view that if you're from India, you are or should be a Hindu, and so they see Christianity as a foreign religion. And probably the most dangerous place to be in India, not geographically but spiritually, is to be somebody raised Hindu who converts to Christianity because you then, depending on where you are in the country, you could be in danger. Your family could be in danger.
I can understand logically how you would be in danger in a Muslim country or from Muslims. And again, most Muslims don't act this way. They're normal people who just, you know, who are peaceful. But I could understand because if you bring Christianity to a Muslim country, you are offending Allah, their God, mm-hmm. right?
Right.
And so you're offending their God. So their God counts on his followers, that is Muslims, to take out vengeance on the offender. Okay, so I can understand that. I don't want to get too deep into this. But Hindu, they believe in what? How many gods?
Unlimited, almost. You can't, not hundreds of millions.
Okay, so there's no holy book or which God says I'm offended by. You talking about Jesus Christ? I thought Jesus Christ was one of the gods. Maybe you see what I'm saying?
Right.
It just doesn't logically make sense unless you sort of blend it with as you're talking about the Hindus feeling of you know, this is our country, this is what we do, and you Christians are trying to come in here and you know, change things up.
Yeah,
I guess, but. That the Hindu system is it the Buddhist or it's the Hindu? Excuse me for getting confused here. On the caste is the Hindu, right?
That's correct.
So right. it's a fatalistic religion, basically.
Basically, right?
Basically, because I mean you're born to whatever you were supposed to be, whatever class you're in, and you can never come out of that,
mm-hmm.
right?
And it's an attack on the government or an attack on the state itself. If you're raised Hindu and you convert to Christianity, you've not only changed your religion, but it's the radicals considered an attack on the country itself.
Maybe it's more of an attack on the country because, sure. I'm trying to think logically. If I believe in millions of gods, what do I care whether somebody comes in and teaches that there is one God? Who am I? If I'm going to fight them or if I'm going to commit violence against that Christian, for what purpose?
It's there's a fundamental disagreement between the Hindu faith and the Christian faith. And so us Christians bringing in our ideology, our belief system, is directly contrary to their entire system that's built over there. They view it as an assault on their faith.
Yeah. But you understand what I'm saying? There's no one God telling them, I'm offended by this. Like in Islam, where you say Allah is offended by you trying to say that he's not the God.
Right.
That that Jehovah God is the God. Anyway, we can talk about this another day. It is an interesting discussion, though, the differences between Hindu, Christianity, Islam, and Buddhist.
Mm-hmm.
I guess those would be the four largest religions in the world, Christianity being the largest, and Islam right behind it. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman, Dr. Ray Pritchard, and Chris Woodward. We've been what sparked this conversation was the President of the United States yesterday was promoting religious freedom, which is a American or Western, more American, the American, America started that.
Right, it's
really.
Our first freedom, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, that's the reason our forefathers sailed from England. So that's how that started, but it spread to the West, that is religious freedom. But it's not in many parts of the world. So what else you got related? A quote or something, or what do you
mean? Well, let's somebody.
We got 9 minutes.
We do, yeah. Let's do this because I want to save this for a later topic in the show when we perhaps have more time. Somebody else that has gotten a lot of attention in the last 24 hours is this teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg.
Do I have to hear her again?
No, because you're the president and you can call the shots. But I have heard from listeners already that
I
want
to put her in timeout. Every time I hear what you're about to play, I want to put her in timeout.
Well, I'll spare you the audio of Greta herself, but I want to air you some reaction because for those not aware of the story, this teenage climate activist Greta Thunberg, if I'm saying her last name correctly, she's from Denmark, 16 years old. She went to the UN yesterday and chastised the UN for not doing enough to combat what she calls or considers man-made climate change. She says, you've ruined my life, our existence is threatened, we're headed for extinction, all these things. And so I want to do some sound here.
Who's she blaming this on? The people that are clapping?
UN. The UN. Yeah, really. The ones that have been sounding the alarm. The ones that AOC would, point to as reasonable why we need to do all this. So I want to do some reaction here. This is author and JunkScience.com founder Steve Malloy. He says this whole thing with Greta is ridiculous. Clip 6.
Her parents are in show business. And I think they'd been coaching her, and so she was very, melodramatic, very indignant about how, the world is wronging her and her generation. Of course, these people know nothing. They've not finished school. They've not been in the real world. They don't understand how the world works, what the world needs. So I take it with a grain of salt. I mean, I realize that, the left has once again shoved in all their, like they did with Russian collusion, they've shoved in all their chips with, Greta the climate puppet.
Greta the climate puppet. Now, I did use the Google button on my internet machine to do some fact-checking to figure out who her parents are, and even the New Yorker did identify her father as an actor and her mother as an opera singer.
We probably, as much as I don't want to hear this again, we probably need to hear about 15 or 20 seconds of Greta.
Oh,
she's
man.
Six. I know.
They're
I know.
Get me fired
I
up.
Know.
I'll let you
okay,
call.
Well,
no, I think
bell.
It is good to
she,
hear.
She's what the reason is she's 16 years old. She's in front of the United Nations giving a speech or giving a talk. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a formal speech on global warming. And it's when I saw her, I go. I was listening to her. I go. Somebody's been coaching her.
She didn't write it.
Well, her parents are actors.
Well, that's true.
So when I knew that, then I thought, okay, she's. I'm not saying she doesn't believe what she's saying, But the way that she delivers it is not a normal 16-year-old, hey, I'm here to talk about so-and-so because I care about... Listen to this.
My message is that we'll be watching you. This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean. Yet you all come to us young people for hope. How dare you?
Okay. All right, let's go back to the start, Greta. Let's do this again. You're going to have more okay, right in the middle of the, huh? Let's do that again.
My message is that we'll be watching you. Uh-huh. This is all wrong. I shouldn't be up here. I should be back in school on the other side of the ocean.
You tear?
Yet you all come to us
young. Okay, all right. I don't want to spend too much. I am mocking a 16-year-old. That's
for the record, Tim's the one that wanted to
hear
that.
That's right.
I am doing that. I know. So she could be being used, as it were. But I think that's a rehearsed presentation from the beginning to the end. Of course, I guess I'd rehearse, too, if I had to go speak in front of the United Nations, Walker.
But, yeah, this entire movement is orchestrated, which doesn't really, that's...
She's going to fly home on a plane.
Yeah, a lot of movements are orchestrated, and that's fine. Some of the conservative actions are orchestrated. But this is orchestrated, and it's all built on a lie. And the lie, the fundamental lie is, but everyone's accepted it as common fact. Except for President Trump. Is that because we drive vehicles around to work and to the grocery store, that we're causing the earth to drastically change, the sea levels are rising, and the world's going to end in 10 to 12 years. That's what these people say is going to happen.
That little girl's life's ruined. It's over.
Yeah.
It's over.
No point going on.
We're done. Yeah. And so the media and everyone around them, they have all bought this and embraced it as fact, even though it's all fake. And so that's the first problem, but they're using...
Are you saying global warming is fake? Are you saying man-made climate change is fake?
The man-made climate change is fake.
Okay. Because the globe may change. Climate changes all the time.
Sure.
We used to have an ice age.
Right.
We used to. I don't remember it, but...
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm saying, we have warming, we have cooling,
Right. There is zero scientific evidence, and this is going to shock folks because everybody thinks that there is.
Right.
There's zero scientific research that connects my truck driving down the road and putting out CO2 to glaciers melting in the Arctic or us having a hotter summer than usual. Zero evidence.
Yeah. Now, for those that are not aware, Greta got to the U.S. from Europe. She sailed because it would be fewer carbon emissions than taking a plane. But here's the irony. The Daily Wire and other people picked up on this. Even the Associated Press pointed it out, of all news outlets. People were flying over here to retrieve her boat to take it back. So they came over here on a plane.
What?
Associated Press put it out. People flew over here to retrieve her boat. Meanwhile,
Greta's boat?
Greta's boat, yes. She also met with President Obama last week. He just bought a ginormous estate in Martha's Vineyard with a massive carbon footprint.
Yes.
That didn't come up in their topic of conversation.
Yeah.
Listen, there was some singer from a group called Radiohead.
Tom something.
Yesterday, a singer, a guitarist. I'm not familiar with that group. I don't listen to them, but they're evidently pretty popular. But he said, yes, I'm a hypocrite because I talk about carbon emissions and I fly all over the world on private planes doing concerts.
At least he's honest.
Yeah, but almost all of them are, which Ed says they really don't believe it. A lot of these people really don't believe in man-made. They're just virtue signaling.
Yes.
It's a cause to get behind.
Government control.
That makes them look good in the eyes of their Hollywood friends. So we'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on American Family Radio.
On today's issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
But get ready for what? Living in open rebellion against the Lord, but saying, all things are working together for me. Listen, that scripture does not apply to those who do not love God and are not called according to his purposes. How do you know whether or not you love God? If we love him, we'll obey him.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio and on Facebook.
Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. You know, when we go to Israel and we visit the Sea of Galilee, we stay at a hotel right there on the seashore. It's going to be wonderful. You're going to get up every morning that we're there and you're going to say, hey, this is the place where Jesus walked on the water. This is the place where Jesus went on the boat with his disciples. This is the place where Jesus had much of his ministry, Capernaum, and places around there. So it's going to be a wonderful time there on the Sea of Galilee. In fact, we're going to take a boat ride out on the Sea of Galilee. That's just a couple of the days that we're in Israel, seeing the sites that you read about your whole life in the Bible. So for more information on this March 12th through the 20th tour, go to the website twholyland.com. Again, March 12th through the 20th, go to the website twholyland.com for all the information.
Fox News Commentary with Todd Starnes.
Are American values changing? A new study says, yes, they are. That story next. Todd Starnes here, and America is facing a great danger as socialism and secularism continue to grip our nation. The left is not holding back in this culture war, and neither can we. That's why Liberty University's mission of training the next generation of faith-based conservative leaders is so vital. Their students know the value of free enterprise and individual freedom, and they will fight for it. So join me in supporting the next generation of conservative leaders. Visit liberty.edu/Starnes today.
For the past 21 years, the Wall Street Journal and NBC News have surveyed Americans. What matters the most to folks across the fruited plain? By and large, things like patriotism and family and religion top their list among Republicans and Democrats alike. But according to their most recent survey, those traditional American values are fading away. Most millennials are no longer interested in patriotism or family or religion. Nearly 80% of Americans ages 55 and above say honoring the nation is important, compared with only 42% of millennials. It's hard to say why our values are changing, but Hollywood and the mainstream media play a big role in shaping what we do and say and think. More often than not, those who take a knee during the national anthem are celebrated, while those who pledge allegiance to the flag are frowned upon. I'm Todd Starnes.
That's your Fox News commentary.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We have, I think I said yesterday, we have 15 seats left on our trip to Israel in March. So that'll probably be full in 2 weeks, I would guess. So if you want to go with us, if you've been thinking about it, check out the website, twholyland.com. twholyland.com. We leave March the 12th. We come back March the 20th. And it's a wonderful experience, as you might imagine, going to the land of the Bible. So the places we visit, the things we see, you can look in the scripture and find a story that happened. Well, it does. That's the point of going, right? Going to the Holy Land to visit the land of the Bible. So you want to go with us? Look into the program, the itinerary, the cost, everything is at twholyland.com. Well, we want to welcome to our program now Dr. Cynthia Perkins. She is an author, educator, and speaker. And Dr. Perkins lives in Oklahoma. She's written a one-year devotion guide called Still Waters. And Dr. Perkins has a very interesting life story. How you doing, Cynthia?
Oh, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, thank you. Where do you listen to? Do you get us there where you live?
Yeah, I get you on Bot Radio out of Shawnee, Oklahoma. And then also I'm pretty sure we have a hard time getting radio stations. I'm down in the Komishi Mountains, so I barely get, you know, word from anybody because I'm 6 miles from the closest house. Also out of Paris, Texas. Are you familiar with that radio station?
Yes. A lot of people don't know there are mountains in Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, we're in the Komishis.
Is that part of the? Is that become the Ozarks once you get into Missouri and Arkansas?
I don't think so. Okay. Our Komishis are kind of intact on their own. They're sort of weird when you look at it scientifically. We used to have a superintendent who knew all that whole story. I should write it, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Talking about the creation and how those mountains ended up being backwards or some kind of deal. It's kind of strange that they're there.
Now, you've written a whole year's worth of devotions. Is that right?
Yeah, over the 23rd Psalm, six mm-hmm. verses.
Yeah, I know. That's amazing. That's amazing. When I saw that, I thought, how in the world? Tell our listeners about it.
Well, it's actually a devotional study over the 23rd Psalm, and it's divided into five sections, beginning with January 1, where he makes you to lie down in green pastures, and ending December 31st on you go to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And it grows as it goes. And in each section, I have many, like a mini, you know, little, small, studies. I have a study over the College of the Feet, where people fall at Jesus' feet and out of the Bible, and it goes along with that section. Then I have, like, a section on prayer. I'm just giving you a few of them. The Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit, the armor of God. So those are just a few.
Now, how can people find out more about this? It's called Still Waters. That's what you named it, yeah.
Yes, it's Still Waters, Dr. Cynthia Perkins, and it's you can get it on Amazon, Jet, Barnes & Noble. My actually press was Westbow Press, and you can call me if you'd like, and I'll send you one, you know.
Okay, what's your email? You have an email?
It's C Perkins with an S, PhD at yahoo.com.
C Perkins at
PhD.
Right. C Perkins, PhD at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir.
And the name of the, it's just fascinating that you could take the 23rd Psalm and get 365 days of, of devotion material out of it. It's called Still Waters. Now, you and your husband, you've been missionaries in several places?
Yeah, we've been in the Komishis most of the time, but also we were in Nicaragua for several years. And then we have gone throughout, you know, several places. I was in Russia for a while, too. I'm a music teacher. My basic doctorate degree is in music education, and I'm vocal music. So I went to Russia and worked with some choirs and things. We were in Nicaragua. We've been in southeast Oklahoma, down in the corner there, for all my life. Actually, I was raised there. My father was born in Honubi. Have you heard of Honubi Bigfoot Festival?
I have now.
Yeah, Honubi means place of the dead man in Choctaw. So yeah. We're right there in the Choctaw area, and my dad was born. There's a group called the Christ 48ers, and he was one of the ministers in that. So we were in that country, and then my husband and I moved back there, and then we moved away to preach in some other places, and then we came back. So we're down there now.
Yeah, well, wonderful. The how do you pronounce it? Kiamichi?
Kiamichi. It means... Yeah, did I say it means to go no further in Choctaw?
No, okay. Mm-hmm, mountains.
Now, one of the reasons I wrote the book was that being a preacher's kid and a preacher's wife, you know, I've been through it. I was just teasing. Yeah. Anyway, I usually make people laugh with that.
Yeah.
But people misuse the 23rd Psalm, or they don't know the essence of the love and the goodness and the discipline and the grace of the shepherd. So that was one reason I chose that for my first book.
Amen. Dr. Cynthia Perkins. By the way, if you're, so it's a Bigfoot Festival, you say?
There's Bigfoot Festival there in October, yeah. It was one of the first ones to start, and it's huge.
I tell you, every town in America picks something out and has a festival around it.
And, right.
I guess the city council, they decided we got to have some kind of money maker this year. So, what y'all got? What about a Bigfoot Festival, Mr. Mayor?
Hey, it's really funny you say that because there's one store in Honubby. That's it.
There's one store, one but little, you have the Bigfoot Festival. Okay. All righty then. Thank you very much for being on with us, Cynthia. Again, what's the name of the book and what's your contact information?
Okay. It's Still Waters and it's Cynthia Perkins. And my email is cperkinsphd@yahoo.com. You can get it on Jet or Yahoo or Barnes & Noble, or you can call me at 918-755-4462 and I'll sign and send you a copy.
Wonderful. Thank you, Cynthia. Appreciate it. We wish you the best.
And I appreciate all y'all do, and I thank you so much.
All right. God bless.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. That's Dr. Cynthia Perkins from Bigfoot Land.
We have a Slug Burger Festival.
Ray, you been there?
No, I have not, but I think we should send an AFR team out to check out this Bigfoot thing, you know?
That sounds good, Ray.
I volunteer. I mean, somebody's got to do it.
Well, you're not far, were you?
I'm not
three
that
hours?
Far. Just down the road from where we are. So
well, we'll
if there's
out.
A Bigfoot roaming around, we need to get on top of this story.
And we need to bring it before the UN's attention.
Yes.
Thank you. Exactly right.
I should be at work.
Because it should. That was good, Chris.
That's nice.
That could,
well done.
You know, you got Bigfoot, especially if you got multiple Bigfoots running around.
Yeah.
You know.
Wouldn't it be big feet?
It would, well, that's a good question. I don't know. But I know that could contribute to global warming.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we don't know. I mean, didn't the Air Force release those pictures the other day of UFOs that they can't explain? Look, the whole world's turning upside down.
Yeah.
We got to get on top of this Bigfoot story for sure.
That's true. Okay, Ray, well, we need to research this to send you down there as our correspondent.
And find out what's going on.
Dr. Ray Pritchard reporting live from Honabaya.
Yeah, wait, in the mountains of Oklahoma.
I didn't know they had mountains.
I had no idea.
That's Southwest. Well, I think you're talking about they turn into the Ozarks. I think I'm right about that. It's in that corner where Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma. Would you call that a corner?
I don't know enough to tell you whether you're right or wrong.
My one time in Texas has been at an airport.
I just know you can get lost in the downtown Tulsa pretty quick. I've done that twice and been circling around.
You've gotten lost in Tulsa?
Well, I know it sounds impossible.
Think about how much emissions you put out while you were lost.
That's right.
Don't make me feel worse than I already do. No, it was some kind of funny. I was driving, you know, trying to cut through. I was on the way to Wichita, and I got in some kind of time warp there. And I was circling this. I noticed I was circling the same buildings like two or three times. Anyway, maybe it was just me.
That sounds like a country song. I was looking for love and got lost in Tulsa.
Circling around in Tulsa. On my way to Wichita.
Well, I think Eric Clapton had Tulsa time, didn't he? And
Yeah.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim with Walker. And Ray's in Kansas City. We're in Tupelo. And Chris Woodward is filling in for Fred Jackson, who's away today. Be back tomorrow. Next story, Chris.
Well, you know, it's tough to pick, but I want to make sure we get this in because I mentioned I set it aside purposely for us to have more time, so I'll quit talking.
Well, we spent 2 or 3 minutes on Bigfoot. I think we can move on to another story.
All right. Well, you know, the President Trump, he's at the UN, and one of the things he's been dealing with outside the UN is his possible air quotes business misdealings, things like that, with leaders from the Ukraine. There was a whistleblower, and that's how he's been identified, a whistleblower who, by all accounts, didn't have full knowledge.
He's not really a whistleblower.
Phone call.
Can I correct you? He's called a whistleblower in the news media.
Right.
But by legal definition, he's not a whistleblower because the person who's claiming that President Trump did talk to the Ukrainians and tried to get them to investigate Joe Biden's son or else withhold money.
Right.
That that quote whistleblower never heard the conversation.
Right. Yeah, Kellyanne Conway said as much today. I want to do some sound, though. This is Vice President Mike Pence blasting the media and even Joe Biden himself over the whole Ukraine situation. I don't have the sheet in front of me, Brent, but it's going to be, yes, clip 11.
The American people have a right to know what happened. They have a right to know what happened in 2016, and they have a right to know what the circumstances were around having a sitting vice president threaten to withhold American aid. And look, and again, this all, the ironic thing is that everything that our critics in the media are leveling at the president from this phone call and leveling at our administration, everything that Democrats on Capitol Hill are running off and describing, Vice President Joe Biden bragged about. Which was a quid pro quo, withholding American aid in exchange for a specific action.
Now, we do have He's the audio
exactly
of Biden,
right.
If you guys want to air it.
He's exactly right.
Do you want to hear the Biden
yes,
video?
Yes, I do.
All right.
Let's set this up.
You set it up, Walker.
Okay. Yeah, so what we're about to play is a clip of Joe Biden back in 2018. He's at a foreign policy conference, Council on Foreign Policy, and he's bragging in this clip about how he had a prosecutor in Ukraine fired before he left office, before the vice president left the White House, and the prosecutor just happened to be investigating his son, Hunter Biden.
Clip 10.
We're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, you have no authority. You're not the president. The president said, I said, call him. I said, I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, you're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here. And I think it was, 6 hours? I looked, I said, I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money. Oh, got fired.
People are laughing about this.
Whoa.
Had you heard that, Ray?
No, I had not. Wow. That's damning, isn't it?
Yeah. That's the story. That's what the president's talking about. He's saying, why aren't the media focusing on, we don't need testimony. Right. We don't need a whistleblower. Joe Biden says
he admitted it was
pay to play. And you know, you fire the prosecutor who's investigating my son, or you don't get your billion. You don't get your $1 billion. You know, this is just another case of, now, first of all, we don't have a whistleblower, all right, because in legal sense, there's no whistleblower. Secondly, President Trump said, I did talk to a Ukrainian leader, and Kellyanne Conway said, yeah, we were withholding money, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, because there was corruption going on.
Yes.
And thirdly, guess what, folks? The Constitution of the United States gives sole authority to the president to negotiate foreign matters.
Right.
And they're not subject to, you can't have, and I would say this if it was Obama in the White House, it doesn't matter. You can't have the Congress listening in to all the president's conversations with foreign leaders. And no president would sign up for that, Democrat or Republican. And that's sort of what the Democrats are suggesting now, the liberal news media, Walker.
Yeah.
Is that, well, we need to hear all these tapes. We need to hear the conversations that the president had with, you don't need to hear Joe Biden. Joe Biden just said it out.
He admitted it.
Yes.
He just said it out loud. So there's some people who think that could hurt Joe Biden.
Yeah. And I don't put it past some of the Democrats that want Biden out of the way to get behind the, we need to bring Biden in to question him about this kind of thing, purely to get Joe out of the way so they can get in their guy or girl.
Yeah, this is, number one, Democrats have no legal standing to impeach at all. So legally
speaking, think this is impeachable, what President Trump?
Yeah, some of them have said that. Some of them have said that.
He could tie his shoes wrong and they would try to.
There's no legal grounds for impeachment. So that's they want to do a political impeachment, which is you impeach a president because you just don't like
him.
Exactly.
We want to make it official.
But the scandal here, as you mentioned, Dad, is with Joe Biden. And what happened is, back when Joe Biden was vice president, in 2014, he was named the chief liaison between Ukraine and the White House. So Joe Biden flies over to Ukraine, meets with various business leaders, and then just a month later, it happens to be that his son, Hunter Biden, is named on the board of directors for a big energy company in Ukraine. And the energy company starts paying Hunter Biden upwards of $200,000 a month for these consulting fees.
Whoa.
That's the scandal. And that's all public record. John Solomon with The Hill, who's also reported on various other scandals, he has the bank records in his possession. He has all the investigative materials that the former prosecutor that Joe Biden had fired was investigating. So that's really where the scandal is.
Yeah. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio, but the news, many in the news media are just wanting to make this is going to be the new Russia.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Levin said something funny the other night. He said, you know what? He said the Republicans need to open up in subpoena investigations on Joe Biden and his son and their financial dealings and ask for their tax returns and subpoena them, ask them to testify. In other words, he was saying the Republicans in the Senate need to treat this like the Democrats have been treating Trump for 3 years.
Yes.
On every single thing he ever said, did, or business transaction he had.
Yeah, if you just bring in Hunter Biden and subpoena his financial records,
right,
that will be the end of Joe Biden.
Right.
Because you're going to find out that Joe Biden.
By the way, Hunter Biden had no experience in, was it natural gas or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's not like this is what he's done for a living. No, uh-uh. This is what happens is the politicians, their family members set up these LLCs that don't do anything but take in money from foreign governments. And this is what the Clintons did. This is what Biden did. Hunter Biden and Joe Biden went over to China. And then a week later, they struck Hunter Biden's LLC struck a $1 billion contract with the Chinese government. And so that's what's been going on in Washington.
Wait,
are you telling me you have the
son of a president?
Son of the
going
vice president.
With his dad on an official visit?
Yes, on a government plane.
And then his private company benefits a week later?
$1 billion with the Bank of China and the Chinese government.
Oh.
Signed a $1 billion business agreement.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, that's what the president's ticked off about is, and that's what he said. President said, what did he say? That the media is corrupt as AT double hockey sticks.
What?
I can't say it on Christian radio.
But he said the word.
He said, well, yes, he did.
Okay. I got you.
Yeah, he said they are, I was quoting the president
right.
without actually quoting him. But that's how mad he was. About this one, it's more fake news.
Part of this, Tim, is the political ramifications of this. Number one, anytime light gets shining down on Hunter Biden and Joe Biden, that just messes up.
Right, I know.
It messes up his campaign for president. But what's really interesting is what Chris alluded to, is that some of the other Democrats are sort of silently saying, go get him, go get him.
Yeah, because they benefit, especially Elizabeth Warren. Mm-hmm. She stands to be the benefactor of Biden dropping out more than anybody. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. My apologies to the folks who live in the mountain range in Oklahoma that was mentioned earlier, because it's actually down by Ada, by Poto, and down in central part of Oklahoma that borders Arkansas, not up in that corner where Arkansas, Missouri, and Oklahoma meet. So I didn't want folks to think I don't know geography any better than that. But anyway, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, as if you needed another reason to ask your kid maybe at supper time, hey, what'd you talk about in school today? Here's a good example of why you should do that. There's a YouTube clip that we're about to play here from a lady named Margaret Vandenberg. She goes by the alias Fog City Midge. She lives and operates in San Francisco. And she went to a rally where she saw and she recorded kids chanting anti-Trump things in San Francisco. Clip 14.
It's unbelievable to me that we have sort of this radical leftist agenda and these activists.
Who do we hate? Donald Trump! Who do we hate?
I'm Fog City Midge here in San Francisco at the Close the Camps, Free the Children protest, and it is nuts. There are people out here today on a school day, on a work day. Children have been brought out of school, out of the classroom, to come to protest to free the children. However, most of these children are very young, many of them as young as kindergarten age, 5 years old, and they are not entirely aware of the ramifications and the reality of illegal immigration, but they're being used to push a political agenda.
Hey, I'm interested. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. You know the fella who confronted the Catholic boys up there in Washington? Was he there?
No.
By hearing? Play that again.
Listen. The drum.
Right, the drum. What was his name?
What was that guy's name? Yeah.
You know, the Native American.
Yeah.
Anyway, I heard him in the background.
Yeah.
I'm just asking you, was he... You don't know whether he was there or not?
I cannot confirm or deny.
So these kids are brought out of school. I knew they had...
It was end of last week, yes, sir.
Oh, I knew they had the global warming protest.
The climate strike. Mm-hmm.
Climate strike, where some kids in some school districts were allowed to get out and go protest. But this was different?
It was different.
It was
another way to bash Trump. And you have kids as young as kindergarten out there saying things like, right, you build the wall, we tear it down. Who do we hate? Donald Trump. And as Midge pointed out, obviously these kids are learning these things from somebody. They were there with teachers, public school teachers.
Well, unfortunately, a lot of California is far, far, far left. So they would say this is a source of pride for their school district.
Remember about 10 years ago when President Obama first when he was elected, going into Inauguration Day, we had news stories about little kids singing pro-Obama songs in school.
Yeah, it's double standard there, no doubt about it. But all right, next story.
Well, I wanted to bring this up.
We got
up.
The painting thing. You going to bring that up or not?
Let's do the painting. Yes. Thank you very much for reminding me, Mr. President.
I sent this to you, Ray. Did you get this?
Yeah,
story?
I did.
Yes,
I did.
Okay,
it's a great story.
There is a lady in France, and this is all the more reason to check your paintings. There's a lady in France who has a priceless painting that's worth millions of dollars. It's from one of the Renaissance greats, things of that sort. Millions of dollars.
Yeah, but read how it happened. Do you have the story that you have?
I did.
Go ahead. We'll just read it. Just read the first couple paragraphs here.
My screen went blank.
Yeah.
Hold on. Wait for it. Talk amongst yourselves.
Your screen went blank.
I have it if
Walker,
you're ready.
Walker Thank has you. It, Chris.
Thank you.
Walker. Yeah, this is from Fox News. The headline is, long lost 13th century painting from Renaissance era found in woman's kitchen.
So Ray, this woman doesn't know. It wasn't found in terms of, like, it was underneath the.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was hanging on her wall.
It wasn't underneath a stack of boxes or nothing.
You're saying it was just hanging on the wall, and she didn't know it had value?
Yeah, here's the first paragraph. A painting found in the kitchen of an elderly woman in France is a work of art from a 13th century Renaissance artist, and could be worth as much as $6.5 million, according to experts.
Yeah, do they say who the artist is?
Italian painter Kimabu.
So I wonder if she got that like at a garage sale, or how she. I just thought it was very.
It's everybody's dream, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, they you're going to dig up something, you're going to find some money up in your attic, but in this case, it was just hanging on her wall.
In the kitchen,
that's how
I guess,
the story right? always goes, though. It's
but
always
check
they
your
don't
kitchen
realize
during the break.
She doesn't realize that piece of art hanging on her wall in her kitchen is worth $6 million.
Wow!
There's her retirement.
That's it. She's set now.
Well, that kind of thing's never happened.
She'll probably pay it all to the government because they have really high tax rates for the wealthy in France.
True.
Would you sell it, Ray, or not?
In a heartbeat.
Me too, Ray.
It's sold.
You guys don't
right
have
now.
Any, you guys don't have any art appreciation. You
sell
I
have a cash appreciation.
You got a, you got a masterpiece by one of the great artists in world history, and you're going to sell it.
We could be set for life.
Yes. Sell
right.
it.
We'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.